welcome back to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
Yes, you are, young William. This week, we're going to talk about some things that are important to us. Number one, cleaning up after yourself. Think not only what the sport can do, but what you can do for the sport. Also, the great Montgomery Terrier Kennel Club show, one of the greatest dog shows in the world, and the unfortunate loss of one of our sports icons, Pat Lawrence. All that and more right here on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Yellow hills. Well, good morning, young William. It's always a pleasure to see you. I'm gathering that you're doing well up there in the land of the igloos.
Land of the igloos. Well, there's no snow yet. Good morning, Wayne.
I'm talking about the plastic ones that dogs in the dog houses.
Yeah, I've got about 20 of them staked out back for the beagles, the Irish setters.
I used to have a couple when we had the old place, and no one ever wanted them, so I took them to the shelter and donated them. They were really
fun. Before we get started, there was a monumental event that happened yesterday.
Maple Leafs open their season or something?
That's tonight. The start of the NHL season was last night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I missed it.
Tampa Bay and New York Rangers.
Really?
Yeah.
Did any of the regular players play?
All of them. They were all there. Because it's the first game, man. First game.
Oh, first official of the regular season.
NHL started last night. The Leafs start tonight.
Who won?
You know what? I didn't watch the game, but by what reports I saw this morning, I would take a wild guess that the Rangers won because they were talking about it, Shesterkin. So,
yeah, it's possible.
They're the Rangers are one of the favorites to come out of the East this year because of Shesterkin.
Yeah, he's quite the force.
He is. The force. Yeah. Might win the Vezina again. That's a talk already.
Yeah. Rangers won 3-1.
Yeah, there you go.
And the Knights beat the Kings 4-3. All this and more on the Dog Show Drive.
The Dog Show Drive.
Well, we've been slacking off on hockey a little bit.
Well, because there hasn't really been any hockey.
No, there hasn't been.
Up again,
our K-Wing start.
Oh, I love it. We went to that one, K. We went. You took me to the rink. That's great.
So much fun. That is fun. Beautiful, wonderful.
You have a local hockey team like that you can access, that you can get to. Yeah, I think that's amazing.
It takes just 10 minutes to drive there, and you pull up to the door and you walk in. You know, it's so easy.
We have the Maple Leafs, but they're right downtown, and it's like $1 million to get one ticket.
Yeah,
but if you go to the Rico Center, which is just I think it's still the Rico Center, which is just down the road. That's where the Marlies play, which is their farm team. Mm-hmm. You can get right against the glass for $35.
Exactly. Same with K-Wings. You know, it's great. And, you know, going to Detroit is a big deal. It's so rotten neighborhood. The garages are terrible. And, you know, it's $1,000 day.
But you're as close to Chicago, too, so you can just...
I am. So I rarely go to the Red Wings games. I go to Blackhawks games because they're better.
Yeah.
And we love the Blackhawks, and I don't want to hear from my Michigan friends about not liking the Red Wings as much, because the Blackhawks, we have a very good reason to like them. Their owner has beagles from us, and
that's right there
is good enough for me.
And he's such a great man. You know what? When they show up in Toronto, I send him a message, and he sends me a ticket.
Yeah.
To go watch them in Toronto. I have to sit with the Blackhawk wives, but that's okay.
Yeah. tough duty. And Miss P dropped the puck for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
And we all got to go to Rocky's office on more than one occasion and hang out and see how it worked behind the scenes.
I met Tony Esposito, my hero.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't you get, you got a jersey too?
Right? Got a jersey from Tony because they asked me at the end of the night. He said, any jersey there? I met all the guys in the restaurant that I met. Taves and Kane and Rocky said, well, what jersey do you want signed? I said, I want Tony Esposito.
the funny part, I sort of don't know if you noticed, but Haley, our daughter Haley, was there and ended up holding Miss P most of the game.
Yeah.
And so as a result, they put her on the teleprompter a lot. Well, that's not a big deal unless you snuck out of a seminar early. This is when she was at the Feinberg School of Medicine School at medical school at Northwestern, right? So it's Chicago, Northwestern's right there. The hospital's right there. Seminar's right there. So the next morning she comes into work and they're all like, hey,
how you feeling?
Good to see you on the big screen, on the news every 5 minutes showing the Beagle.
That reminds me, the picture I just sent you, I sent Wayne a picture of Herb Williams with Shang, which is Mitsu Hansu Shang, the chow chair from the 70s. And there's a picture of Malcolm Fellows. And there is in the best of show ring at Westminster. Yep. Just as a judge points at Malcolm, you see Herb, who's showing the chow. He is so jubilant in the picture. You don't know who won, but because Herb was so happy for Malcolm
winning. His feet are on the ground. He's jumped up in the air, exuberant, his arms flying.
It's an amazing picture. But what happened was Malcolm had a job, a full-time job up here, and he told his employer that he was sick that week. Well, they saw him on TV.
Oh, no. Oh, that's beautiful. I didn't know that story. Yeah, that's great.
Saw him on TV. He lost his job. Yeah, Malcolm on TV.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I think he made him. Yeah, that's how the legend goes. I don't know for sure. You know, things change over the years, but.
Well, and here's two. They're both Canadians, right?
Yep.
So, you know, he's happy for his fellow countrymen and for his friend.
Oh, it's a great
photo.
It
should be. I remember
one I'll of my hold first, it up to the camera so you guys can see it.
Yeah. One of my first Best in Show memories at the Garden, and this is a while ago, was Johnny Murphy going Best in Show with Carmichael's fanfare, Scotty. And what I remember about it is when they pointed to him, he didn't change expressions or anything. He just kind of walked over to the Best in Show marker like he does it every day.
Oh, well, yeah. You
know, it was so cool. Yeah, did my job, go up there, get my ribbon, you know. Now you see people going, you know, winning a Ambred class of two, and they, yes, yes.
The show this past week, we had the Nipissing Kennel Club, which is an annual event each year. We have it. We had our Thanksgiving this weekend. This is Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Weekend. So Nipissing is our Thanksgiving show, and they host a huge Thanksgiving dinner for everybody the one night. It's a big deal. But Richard Paquette had brought all these dogs in Canada back when they were a newspaper form. Wow. He had them in binders for each year from like 72 to 77.
Oh, wow.
But cool. I have a sore neck because I just stayed at that table all weekend long looking at all these old photos of people. It was so much fun. There was one. The United Kennel Club is a great kennel club that's in Montreal, and it was a big deal back in the day, the United Kennel Club. And I'm looking at the results of the United Kennel Club back in, I want to say, 74, 75. Well, group first was Oak Trees Aristocrat.
Really?
With Bill Trainer.
Bill Trainer, yeah.
Yeah. Second was a whip, a group two, Hound Group, was a Whippet that Bill showed as well. Wow. Three, I want to say, was the Doberman, which was one of the top working dogs at the time, 7-11. Four was Bobby's Girl, Peter Celium.
Wow, Derside's Bobby Girl, yeah.
Yeah, five was a
Peter Green, by the way.
Yeah, Peter Green.
I'm trying to do last names too now.
I know. And then six was Herb Williams with the Chow, and Peter went Best in Show. So that was a Montreal dog show. And if you look at the lineup, the Best in Show lineup, there's two Best in Show Westminster winners in there and three group winners in there. That's quite the Best in Show lineup in Montreal.
Can you imagine? How cool is that?
Yeah, it was cool.
Man, that is something else. Yeah, we think of those dogs fondly, and because they were, you know, and they still are great ones in my mind.
Oh, yeah. You look at those pictures, and and those six dogs, those were only six groups back then. Those are all winners today. You know, those are all competitive.
And that's not true with every great top winner.
No, it's not.
But certainly is today. Yeah, and those were they were popular dogs. The press loved them. The New York Times loved them. I mean, there were stories about them. The New York Times has a great archive collection that you can find online. If you just put a famous old dog show's dog's name in, you make them up with an article about the dog show written by Walter Fletcher. Yeah, Walter Fletcher was a regular columnist for the New York Times who did dog shows every Monday morning. It was in the paper.
Wow, could you imagine?
And all the group placements were listed. Yeah. And there was a story about the Best in Show winner. It was always kind of a behind the scenes story about the winner. Walter Fletcher was an absolute monument. I mean, he was just a key part of the sport, and he worked until he was well beyond retirement age doing that column.
I wish they'd do that now. That'd be fabulous.
Well, no one cares anymore. And the other thing is, you know, and I'm not going to stop beating this dead horse. I thought about it, and I'm not going to. There are too many damn shows now. Back then, every show was an event. Yeah, it was an event worthy of the New York Times.
Well, and part of the reason, though, is the instant access we have with our phones now. That's great for the Times to come out Monday morning and say, oh, he's aristocrat. Well, we knew Friday afternoon.
You know, the backstory. That was the cool part.
Yeah.
And you can probably find that now somewhere. But it was just the point is that the shows were so revered because they were. There weren't ones 200 miles away,
And they gave dogs characters. I remember reading the story about, and obviously I wasn't around, so it was in the magazine, but it was a story in the Times about Millicent O'Boy going reserve best show at the garden. And it's just a great story. It's almost like a secretariat type of story, you know?
That dog had such a public following, not just dog show people following, a public following in New York. And if you Google champion Millicent O'Boy, one of the greatest Irish setters of our time, and by the way, he wasn't long and low, nor was he overangulated, and he had a beautiful head. For me, he could win today. Anyway, if you Google champion Millicent O'Boy, I'll bet you'd come up with a handful of articles
in the New York Times
about him, and they are features. He was like, you know, Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh. He was the face of the sport.
And they followed her. I think one of the headlines was, oh, boy, goes to wherever and wins. It wasn't even New York. It was somewhere out of New York. It was almost like they were just following him.
I know there was a story about him where he lost. And whoever wrote it, probably Walter Fletcher, was just devastated. And it was the biggest upset. And people were booing.
Imagine, yeah.
Yeah, there's such great history there, and a lot.
Grew up in the wrong era, Wainer.
We were born in the wrong era.
Love to have seen all that.
I like this era, but I like the sport better when it had substance. This weekend, I didn't do the math yet, and I will because I just read it last night. See the entries this weekend: 275, 311, 212, 159. You get a best in show. You get a group win. I mean, it's just ridiculous. A big show. We're not even up to 1,000. I think the only 1,000-dog show was Montgomery. And, you know, that was all terriers. And don't tell me it's because of Montgomery that the shows were small, because and I'm not picking on Nebraska. I love it there. But there were shows in New Mexico and Nebraska and even Texas. There weren't going to be 200 terriers at those shows if there was no Montgomery.
Right.
There were still going to be 38 or 17. So it's not that Montgomery drew all of that. And not all the handlers go to Montgomery unless they have terriers. So it wasn't an unusual weekend. It was just another weekend where I happened to look at the numbers and saw small. It was just ridiculous.
What an exciting event, though, terriers. The greatest terrier show in the world, they call it, right?
And I think it's one of the most important shows in the world.
Me too.
Even if you don't have a terrier or even care about terriers, you really have to go. It's a step back in time.
Well, that's what it is. It's funny about terriers, but it's very historical terriers.
Yes.
It really is.
I mean, what other breed had so many people that were wealthy Englishmen start a kennel over here? And send their kennel manager or hire a kennel manager. You know, the Americans would start a terrier kennel and they'd bring a kennel manager over from England.
Or Wales.
Yes, indeed. I should say the entire United Kingdom and beyond. That's true. Yeah. Very true. And bring them over here to Bob Braithwaite. You know, these guys that are long, long gone. And they would not only handle the dogs, they would run the breeding program. They did everything. They were
revered. They weren't just kennel help. They were the kennel manager. No, they were revered, you know. Mm-hmm.
They were the big ticket. And when they became judges, as they often did, they were some of our greatest judges, too. But yeah, you know, John Marvin. I mean, there's just so many great terrier judges from the time. I'm not sure John was a kennel manager, but there's so many more that were. And I mean, Tom Gately, all those guys that were just so good at running the breeding program and doing the whole thing. We don't really have that anymore.
You know, they were smart. Like you hear about people now, handlers now or breeders, they go all over the world and they pick out all these and they pick out dogs because of where they're from. I'm serious. I sat at ringside one time and it was Andrew Green, and everybody was going on about this dog and that dog. And Andrew's watching this older gentleman show his wire fox terror, and he's like, "That's a really good one." And he went and got his dad, and that dog ended up in the Greens team, you know. And it was right there in front of him, and no one else saw it. Andrew saw it.
Yeah, well, he sure has had the experience of having grown up with great, great terriers, all of them, you know. And Montgomery is just, and first of all, congratulations to MM, the Lakeland, who went best.
Yep. Whole team. Yeah.
The whole team. And for me, because I know her so well, Marippe, you know, she to me is one of the icons of the sport, one of the most underappreciated artists in the sport. Trimming, grooming, getting in the heads of a dog, knowing so much about them. If I've got a terrier question, it's my first call because she's so passionate about it.
And she was a fabulous handler, like just a fabulous handler.
And trimmer.
She could show anything, you know, didn't just have to be terriers.
Absolutely anything. Oh, I miss living closer to her. I love her dearly. And I don't know, she's just one of my favorite people in the sport. And I love her fire. I love her fire, her passion. Does it get her in trouble once in a while? Well, some of us that are passionate about this story do get in trouble in a while. And that's my kind of people. If you care enough, if you have the passion, you will maybe push the line a little bit once in a while.
Some feathers here and there. Yeah.
And that's how you keep this. That's how you show you care about this damn sport and you care about the people in it. Yeah. Congratulations to all those connections. Just great. Well done. And won the breed under a former Canadian, right?
Yeah, Canadian. It didn't dawn on me until I started seeing it on Facebook. But a good friend of mine, Eva Fiquette.
Is that her name? Yeah.
Eva Fiquette. I just called
her. American. How do I
say was that here. But she bred Lakeland Terriers, and she lived here in Canada and bred Lakeland Terriers. And I think she moved to Australia. I don't want to say 20 plus years ago. I can't remember now, but we were at shows together for years. But then I saw that she was judging her love, Lakeland Terriers at Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And then when M won, she posted that her Lakeland Terrier went best in show. Like she was so over the moon that her. I went back a couple weeks in our Facebook and it says, "It's getting real now. It's getting real." And I could see she was getting excited about coming over and judging her breed. Yeah. I love that.
That's one. And again, you know, exposure to dogs in Canada, dogs in Australia, that's going to round out your eye too. And give you more depth. I really think.
I think she's judging 3 or 4 or 5 groups now. I'm not sure, but she's done really well.
We should go to Crofts this year, Will.
All right. We're in.
I just miss, it's been a
right
few.
Right after Enderby.
Yeah, after Enderby. We're coming for you, Lori Crandallmeyer. We're coming with our cameras. We're coming for you. And by the way, you know, I wanted to mention this. Last week, we were talking about international dogs being shown and, more important, being used. Yeah. And we're talking about the gene pools now. It's not unusual to have several countries represented in a 3-4 generation pedigree. And I was thinking, yeah, the science, the transportation, I don't think that's it, Will. It dawned on me after we spoke that one of the biggest contributing factors is the internet. We can see those dogs now, right? On Facebook, you see a dog in another country and you find out who it is.
Oh, and right away.
Because of those photographs and videos from other countries on Facebook, that's a strength. No one created Facebook to diversify the canine show dog gene pool, but it ends up being where it really happens, right?
It's made our world so small. It really
has. And when you see great dogs in Czech Republic, Australia, anywhere, Sweden, of course, You know, it gets your interests, that piques your interest, and you start looking at those pedigrees differently. And you can make, and now you, of course, we have the science to import and export and frozen semen and extended semen and all that stuff, which makes it actually logistically possible. But the initial push, I think, has a lot to do with Facebook. So all the things I hate about Facebook, so many, have offsets like this. I would have never found that about the beagles that I'm looking at in Eastern Europe.
Like I said, it's made us so, made our world so small. I'll see a dog on somebody's page, and we read by, like, say, Greg Brown. Well, I'll message Greg right away and say, Greg, tell me about this dog, and he will. Like, before that, you'd have to figure out, you know, time differences.
Well, you would have never known he had it. No, you would have never known he had the dog. You wouldn't even know who he was, you know? Yeah, it really has changed things. But I also want to talk about, Will, you had a post, speaking of Facebook. It just made me sick to my stomach.
It blows me away. I don't understand people. I just don't understand. Here's this club, and they're most of the club members are volunteers. So they're out there putting on a dog show for you, and they've worked all weekend. They're exhausted. And then the last walkthrough, they've got to clean up somebody's setup because someone didn't clean up their setup, and there's hair everywhere. It makes me crazy. Like, people, how hard is it to clean up your own setup and leave your spot the way you found it? It makes the job so much easier for the club members to pack up and go home and get some much needed rest after putting on a show for you all weekend long.
For free. They're volunteering, breaking their backs. And it's all year, the planning, right? And then they go in there and then they got to go pick up after you.
Oh, and I'll tell you, I was outside. It was a well-run dog show. I was outside. I was actually my dog in the ex-Penzera area. And this gentleman walked out with his dog. He walked out, exercised it. It did its business. Number two right there. Went back inside, showed his dog. I cleaned it up for him. Yeah. And they're like, I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Are these the people whose mothers pick up after them too often? Or they just, you know, no ambition? And it's a reflection, not on our sport, but it's on a reflection of the breed you're set up with, or you as a handler, or exhibitor, owner. I went through a barn. It looked just like your picture, Will, with hair all over the place. There may even been more in Ohio a few months ago. And it's a beautiful venue. And I'm thinking, man, are these people going to want you back?
That's right.
The only way you're going to get back is those volunteers, like you said, are going to be there all night cleaning up your mess. And if you don't have the intention to detail to get a broom and sweep up your area, which takes a whole 5 minutes, how are you taking care of your dogs at home?
Exactly. How inconsiderate. It's just, I don't get it. I remember that's how I first started working for handlers. I remember I was actually talking to Elaine Whitney this weekend about it. I walked into their setup when I was a kid, and I think Gary handed me a broom. You know, yeah, you can stay here, sweep up while we're working. Sure. You know, yeah,
absolutely. There was a horse trainer at Monmouth Park who everyone said, boy, he gets all the big clients and he has all the good horses. Everybody rakes their shed row when you're done feeding and exercising for the morning. He raked it in a herringbone pattern, this way and then that way.
Yeah.
That little touch took maybe 5 more minutes. But when you walk down that shed row, you're like, man, this guy takes care of his horses.
Exactly.
And it's, I don't want to hire a handler who leaves a bunch of crap behind, because I have my picture of what their kennel looks like and their van looks like. It's got to reflect that. Clean up.
And it sounds elitist and stuff, but when Garrett was teaching me all these things, Garrett Lambert, he said you had to have snob appeal.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds elitist, but he made sense. And it wasn't just, you attract a stuff, but if someone walks into your setup and it's neat and tidy and orderly and looks like a business place, your dogs are all well looked, that is attractive to someone that's looking to show their dog.
Yeah, it says professional. Yeah. It just says we care about the sport and we're professional. So come on. And you having to pick up after another dog, I've done it. We've all done it. It's ridiculous. I like to find who the person was and give it
and
back.
If he'd been in a rush and said, I got to run to ringside, can you grab that for me? Oh, perfect. Right. You know, he just left it there and walked in, you know, and I cleaned it up. You know?
We have a neighbor who, now that we're sort of in town, that didn't pick up after their dog on more than one occasion. So one of the other neighbors did. And they took the little poop bags full of poop, lined them up on their front lawn.
Yeah.
I'll pick it up this time, but I know who you are, and you can pick it up next time.
Yeah, it reminds me, there was a video that was on YouTube, I think, and it was this guy in a sports car, and there was street sweepers. It was in front of a bar, and the not the bouncer, but the guy in charge of the bar was there watching up front. And this guy pulled up with a sports car and he started dumping his garbage out of his window as if, well, the guy with the street sweeper went to clean it up. And the bouncer came over, swept it up and threw it in his window.
Perfect. Well, we should start doing that. Throwing the hairball in the garbage and the coffee cups and the energy drink cans and all the other crap that people leave behind. You know what really gets me? When there's a big trash can, a 50-gallon drum, and there's poop and trash in it. That's what it's there for. And outside, you know, 20 feet away, someone's bagged their poop and just left it in the grass. They couldn't walk 20 feet over and put it in the barrel.
Exactly.
Man, it just infuriates me.
In defense, there's most people aren't like that. Like 95% of the dog show, they sweep up their setup. It's just that little 5%. Just come on, guys.
It's true.
Step it up. Step it up.
And the
you want this dog show to happen. You want the sport to keep going. Step it up.
Yeah, and you want us to be able to get hotels. Don't leave your five yapping dogs in your room and go to dinner for 3 hours so that everybody in the hotel hears rah, 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 straight for 3 hours with you at dinner. And then we wonder why we can't find a hotel that accepts dogs. Perry, Georgia, giant shows down there, right? There's only several hotels that accept dogs around there, and they're not the nicest hotels because people abuse it. They don't pick up after their dogs. And even if you pick up after your dogs, don't leave them if they bark. And don't tell me you didn't know they were going to bark. You knew they were going to bark.
Of course. If I'm leaving the room to go to the ice machine, I'll stop and listen to see if anybody's barking before I leave the hallway. Right?
Why wouldn't you do that? You know, why wouldn't you do that?
Even on the topic of cleaning up hotels, most of these good hotels that allow dogs, they have an exercise area, and they usually have a station with poop bags. And they still see poop on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, what else can they do?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Pick it up. Step up your game. Help the people that want to help us.
Years ago, my grandfather used to tell me about this. Well, I never saw it. It was a while ago, but I was around. In New York City, there were signs that said, curb your dog.
Yeah.
Remember curb your dog
signs? I do, yes, yeah.
And that was so your dog would poop in the street, not on the sidewalk. And then when it became where people were like, this is ridiculous. I'm still stepping in it. Then the poop bags came along. That's not an old invention. That's a fairly recent invention. But if you haven't gotten used to it by now, because we've had them for the last, 34 years. If you haven't gotten used to them by now, you better not get a dog because they're going to poop and you need to pick it up.
Yeah. It's your responsibility.
You got a poop bag, pick it up.
Grandma, when you always hear the story about a child wants a dog and the parents say, well, okay, but it's your responsibility. You're going to feed, you're going to pick it up, you're going to look after, you're going to brush it, you're going to love it. It's your responsibility. You
know what? I had neighbors back in New Jersey who their kid really was, really pestering about a dog for a long time. So they said, what should we do? And I said, well, I'll be right over. And I bought a leash and a collar and a bowl, two bowls, and said, tell them to wake up every morning before school and walk this leash around the block and then put food and water in the bowl or fake food, whatever you want to put in there. And if he makes it around the block in the morning for a week and keeps the bowl full of water and make-believe food, he gets a puppy. Never made it. Never made it. So those people told their friends, then it became a thing in our general area. This is what you do when your kid wants a dog. Because you're going to get stuck doing it yourself. You know, if you're not ready, my favorite dog owners are people who know it's not a good time to get a dog.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite dog owners. And for puppy sellers, it's up to you. But I know a lot of people are all about their backyard being fenced in, and I can absolutely agree with that and see that. But there are people who don't have a fenced-in yard who walk them 5-10 times a day.
Oh, my mom and her Cocker Spaniel, she's always walking, always walking.
But people who have a fenced-in backyard, they open the door, heaven forbid they get off their derrieres, open the door, dog walks out to pee or poop, they call the dog back in, and that's it for the day. What good is that? There's no socialization involved. Get your dogs out in the neighborhoods for two reasons. One, it's better for their heads socially. And two, it gives you a chance to be an ambassador for this sport. When we don't take our dogs to the park, when we don't take our dogs downtown to coffee shops that allow them or whatever, we're keeping the sport to ourselves. I love stupid questions. When I used to take Killian downtown, people would say, is that a Bernedoodle or something? I could get mad and say, no, stupid. We all know you're a goofball. Why would they know?
Right.
I tell them it's an Irish Wolfhound. I tell them what it's about, what the breed's like, whether you should have one, whether you shouldn't have one. And we talk about dog shows and all that. And I feel that's our job, to be diplomats in our communities. We don't have the local match shows and local outreach things we used to have every weekend. We need to get out there with our dogs. It's not that hard. Take your dog for a damn walk. And if you don't live near town, drive downtown. Killian went to this is a community college near us. I used to walk him right by the building every day so he can meet all, and they, you know, everybody want their picture taken. And these kids who are probably in the era of, adopt, don't shop or whatever the hell it is, they're seeing these beautiful purebred dogs and falling in love. And maybe I'm helping change their mind a little bit.
Right.
Do your part. Why not be a diplomat? Do your part.
We have in the town Rockwood up here, we have every Wednesday, which is today, they have a farmer's market that starts at 4 o'clock and runs till 7, where the farmers sell their baked goods and their vegetables and all that. So it's very seasonal. But you go there and walk around, it's dog heaven. There's dogs everywhere wandering through. And most of them are purebreds in that area. Like you see, it's amazing in that area. I've seen Carolean Bear Dogs up there. I've seen Berger Picards up there. Berger Picard, sorry. And Standard Poodles. It's amazing. And then people stop and talk to the dogs. And it's just a fun event every Wednesday, at least in the summer months. I'm probably going to pick up Liam this afternoon after school. Probably stop in there and pick up a couple of scones because it's amazing. I like scones.
Oh, I thought you said stones. I'm like, no, it's kind of
no scones.
Must be a new diet for eating some stones. Yeah,
nothing like a hot blueberry scone.
Man, and by the way, the Twisted Sisters who do a food truck at dog shows. If you haven't had one of their blueberry scones, you've never had one.
Oh, I know.
That's the best I've ever had. They're just amazing. Wonderful. Just wonderful. So in general, we think of John F. Kennedy. Ask not what the sport can do for you. Ask what you can do for the sport. What you can do is be a diplomat, not think people are asking stupid questions. Educate them. Don't laugh at them or get mad at them. If they ask, how many times I've had a pointer out and people say, is that a Dalmatian? I can go, oh, you're so stupid. No, dumb. Or I can say, no, there's a close relationship in making shape, but here's the difference. And by the way, there was a ULA experiment done where they crossed these two. There's so much you can offer and get their attention. I probably sold three dogs at our local. I know I've sold three dogs at our local park. Not to me, buying. I've sent them to reputable people because they kept seeing me there and talking and asking, could I get them an Airedale? One guy wanted an Airedale. It wasn't hard. It done.
Just all the time. I recommended a breeder again, my dry cleaner. Because I go there and he always pulling out ribbons and stuff out of my pockets. And so he started talking about dogs. Well, I'd really like a purebred dog. I'd like a purebred whippet. And I sent off to Jenny McCartney, and the dog's there in the office every day. I see him.
How cool is that?
And now he wants to show it because he asked. I said, "Oh, of course, he looks lovely." So I think he's going to contact the breeder, Jenny McCartney, and they're going to show the dog. And that's one more person in our sport. That's my dry cleaner.
All because the knees of all your suits were stained.
What do you do? Why is there old dog meat in your pocket? Why is there petrified liver in your pocket?
There's a liver in your sport jacket pocket, and there's stains on your knees. What exactly? And the little slobber on the lapel. What do you do, sir?
And then I'll get little baggies with squeaky rats in them.
Right? Yeah, what do the dry cleaners think about? It's best to explain ourselves early on, I think, maybe, you know. Yeah, I've had the liver in the pockets. Is,
you know, and they want to give it back to you in a bag. Here's your liver.
You know, when I knew George and Marianne before they knew each other, I think, Alston's, by the way. I think I've told the story, but I remember when Marianne got her first show dog, Cricket. Georgia came back from and hung his sport jacket in the closet, and Cricket had, and I'm sure this has happened to many people.
Is this an English Setter? Is Cricket an English Setter?
Yeah. No problem. Eating from the liner out to get to the pocket. We've all lost a sport jacket.
And mostly to English Setters.
Mostly to English Setters. Really get delivered. It's true.
Long line of pocket eaters.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe we should have Kevlar pocket liners for dog show people.
Well, I was forever getting my pockets redone at the dry cleaners because, can you fix this for me? I don't know, throw away the jacket, but the pocket, rather than pinning it all together, they put a new pocket in it for me.
And who exactly ate the inside of your pocket, Mr. Alexander? What are you hanging out with? And, you know, and then the women in the sport are always trying to find beautiful suits with pockets.
Yeah.
Or they, you know, have the little pouch or whatever.
Oh, which I love, the little bait pouch. Don't you? I'm just kidding. Sometimes people need it.
I had, when I was doing some obedience
dog training, show version of the fanny pack. Sorry.
I had to acquiesce and go get. Now, I wasn't going to get a dog fanny pack. That's just not me. I went to our local hardware store and found a little nail pouch, a little more macho version of
exactly.
A yeah, and that's where I had my damn cookies, Will, right in there. But yeah, whatever works for you.
I want to bring this up before I forget too.
Yes.
Ken McDermott. The world wants to hear from you.
Are you listening, Ken? Call in.
That's all I want to say, Ken. I'm not going to guilt you anymore. That's all I'm going to say. You know what I'm talking about.
You owe the sport. No, the sport owes you.
Yeah, exactly. That's for sure. Exactly.
What you've done for the sport.
But we all want to hear. You know, whenever I talk to him, he says, oh, no one wants to hear from me, Will. Yes,
everybody wants to, Ken.
Yes, they do, Ken.
Yeah. Please do the Will interview thing. Speaking of great old people in our sport, it's very, very sad, particularly for those who knew her so well. We lost Pat Lawrence this weekend. And
that was a shocker. Oh, my God.
I had the great pleasure of working with her at the AKC. She was a delegate that always spoke at meetings and had something strong to say. She had a passion for the sport. She would not take no for an answer, and she would get up there and say her part and do it well. And she was very instrumental in starting committees and being involved with everything in the delegate body. There are some delegates, bless their hearts, who come for the cake. Pat was not one of them. She came to make a difference, and a difference she did make.
She was dog show royalty.
She certainly was. And gosh, I remember Cheesecake, as I'll always think of. The first wire hair German wire hair pointer that I ever think did anything that I can remember. There are dogs in the West Coast too, Joy Schoenberger's, but Cheesecake was special. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I worked with a guy worked for me at UKC who was in charge of our hunting program, and he had a German wire hair pointer. And he was so thrilled. Bitch, no show dog crap. And this is in this pedigree. She's a hardcore hunter. She's the best woodcock dog I've ever had. And he loved this dog. She was she was pretty too, but she's a great working dog. I mean, a really good one. He loved her. And one day I said, why don't you bring a pedigree in, Todd? I want to see what's back there, you know? Cheesecake. He was heartbroken when I brought in all these show pictures of her grandmother. No, yes, yes, yes. So don't think these dogs don't have instinct and can hunt if you give them the chance. Right. They surely can. But yeah, Pat is a great loss in so many ways. And a great personality too. Just a big personality everywhere she went. And
she agreed to do an interview with me. It must have been, I don't think it was over a year ago, but it was a great interview. And, it was almost just like catching up with an old friend. It was just so much fun. And then we sort of kept more in contact after the interview. And she'd send me notes because she wasn't judging anymore. So she'd send me notes about certain dogs she's seen. And then it was great. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, how cool that is, Will.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Yeah. I kind of, when I moved from back east, I didn't see her as much or have the chance to talk to her much, but we certainly had a good bunch of years in the city. And gosh. She will certainly be missed. We have lost some really icons.
No question. They all hit home. But when this came across and someone messaged me, like, it made me stop and just, you know, reminisce in my mind about times and talking to her, and because she came up here quite a bit to judge, and it was always an event when she because Pat Lawrence is coming, we can't wait to see Pat Lawrence, and it was just so much fun. It was just, she always was always so pleasant, all exhibitors, she always had something nice to say about dogs. It was just great to see her. It's another loss for our sport.
Absolutely. Who's gonna fill their shoes?
Yeah.
I don't know. If you can win real easy by going to a bunch of small dog shows and you think you're royalty and you think you're going to fill Pat's shoes, I got another thing.
Exactly. Not much got by her. Oh, my God.
No, nothing got by her. Yeah. She had the Vulcan mind warp going on. She knew it was going on everywhere at all times. Yeah. Janie was like that, too, of course.
Yeah.
Janie started calling. What do you know? She'd call and say, what do you know? What do you know, kids? Wayne, what do you know? Yeah, we sure miss those great folks in our sport. And there, you know, we do have some people who will go on to be
about
that way.
Always is generational people like that, generational personalities.
Yeah. I kind of think of Bill McFadden that way already.
You know? Oh, of course, yeah.
Loyalty in my mind. And we still have some great ones around, you know, we still have Terry Stacy and Jack and people that I grew up with and would call about a dog any day. Desi's like Dick Clark, isn't he?
Oh, exactly.
Desi Murphy.
I never thought about that. Dick Clark.
And another one who, you know, he wants to know everything that's going on, everything.
Yeah. He knows most of everything that's going on. It's amazing. Yeah.
We had dinner together at Winter Garden Specialties last year. We both judged. And I thought, nice casual dinner, catch up. No. What's going on here? What's going on here? What happened here? Who did that? What happened here? I'm like, whoa, I didn't know it was an interview. Let me get a pen.
Dog Show Central, hold the line, please.
That's right. But he is one that has, that, you know, certainly has been around. And I believe Johnny was his uncle, right?
We
talked about Michael's fanfare before. So a lot of, and there is a lot of cool family stuff in our sport, you know. I think we forget sometimes how many people had relatives, parents, uncles, grandparents, neighbors, cousins, whatever, that got them involved in the sport. So those generational things are pretty cool and not all that uncommon. I mean, we got Jody Biquette down here. Her parents are great. She's up there. And there's so much. You got a lot of Canadians have relocated down here when I think about it.
Well,
you know, and done well. When are you going to move down here, Will?
Oh, I don't think so. I think I've staked my claim up here. And
yeah, well, if the way things are going, we all might be up knocking on your door. Hey, buddy, you know any place we can? You got a couch we can sleep on for 20 years? But anyway, how's your puppy doing?
Oh, puppy's great. And she's. I timed it perfectly. I gave her breakfast, put her in her crate, so now she's napping.
Wow.
She's been perfect though. I can't, you know, I took her to the show with me this weekend and she's only 5 months old, but there was a match one night. And it ended up that Tracy Cartwright, who I co-own Beagles with, she was doing the match. So I really, even though it's a match, I'm still people. You know, so I trimmed her all up, and I had a good friend of mine, young handler. She showed her for me, and we just showed her in the braid. And then I said, Tracy, she's going to not be there for the group. I just wanted to get her in the ring.
Yeah.
And she was amazing. People are going to think I am a genius. This bitch is so trained. I didn't do anything. I put a lead on her. Away she goes.
I think what you're saying, Will, is you didn't want to go in the puppy class with the puppy because if she made you look silly, you'd lose your whole shtink.
Exactly. I just sat at ringside overlooking my people.
You just willed her.
Had my handler out there, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, you know, if I ever need a handler, and you're, of course, unfortunately, semi-retired or retired, it used to be easy. I knew Will was going to show them, right? Now I got to actually think about it. And now I know what clients go through because you're sitting there thinking, well, I've got these two people, but one of them would be mad if I hired the other one and vice versa. Or I got these people and they already have this breed. And do I want to do that? And then wait a second, there's a dog in this area, a pointer in this area, or a whippet, or an Irish wolfhound, or a clumber, a border, English coonhound, whatever I've had in the past. You know, who would I hire there? Well, I want to see it every weekend, but there's a good border terrier right now. So I maybe need to send it to California. Well, then I can't see it. It's a lot of thinking. It's not so easy to just come up with somebody. And it has to be someone who cleans up their setup too, Will. Damn it. It's wrong with people.
Yeah. It's so funny. The things that go through your head. Like my setup is two crates now, right? But I'm in there. And this weekend I was set up with my very first assistant, Jennifer McClintock. So we're set up together and her husband, Ed. So that was fun. Yeah. But I left a crate door open, which I never do. So I stopped and I closed the crate door, but automatically my mind went to Gary slamming my leg. Who let this door open? Come over here and stand here. How's this feel? Close the crate door.
That's exactly right. I had, when I went to Luthier School to learn to build guitars, I had a guy who was like, these are adults. We had to line up at the door after we swept up, before we left the shop to go to lunch. You'd stand in line until he said it was time to go out the door.
Yeah.
And when it's time to come back from lunch, if it was 1:01, you couldn't get in. He locked it. You were done for the day. And cleaning up was such a big deal after him. And if you didn't turn on the dust collection system, or if you didn't have your goggles on, or if you didn't, you know, I can still hear him telling me when I'm in my shop now building something, I can still hear him go, oh man, I can wait. I'm thinking to myself, I don't have to put that away now. And I can hear him in the back, or Russ go in the background, you better pick that up.
Don't you find that crazy in my grooming room? I work better if I walk in on a clean slate, it's already done. I walk in, groom my dog, clean it up before I leave. But I seem to work better. I don't understand people that can just work in miles of hair. Not some people do because they clean it up afterwards, but they work all day. And if you watch even the Italian barbers, after every client, they're sweeping up.
Yeah.
But it's the same idea.
There are so many things in life where someone important, someone who you respected, planted a little seed like that.
Yeah.
Clean your bench, clean your grooming table, keep your scissors sharp, whatever it might be. Those things that they harped on at the time, you're like, leave me alone. This is, you know, I don't need to
know. I know that.
But you didn't know. That's why they had to do it. And that's now there's still on your, there's little people on your shoulder to whisper in your ear, hey, pick that.
don't forget it that way. Yeah. Wrap your cord this way. Don't just throw it away.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I hate the way I wrap clipper cords because you never give me any cordless clippers anymore. You stopped doing that. So now I got to buy my own with cord. I have my Osters, my old Osters with a cord that are made in a Bakelite. You can drop that clipper, and I've done it 1,000 times, on the ground, no problem. It still works.
I remember we used to always have to put them on the ground because, again, Gary Lambert. I would be working away and the clippers get hot because back then they got hot. Yeah. We'll put it on the ground to cool, go on to the next set of clippers. We always had 3 or 4 on the go, and there was always these clippers underneath the grooming tables cooling.
Yeah. Yeah. Now we have cooler lube to spray them with.
Yeah.
But these clippers don't even have a ground plug. They just have 2 regular sized plugs. That's how old they are. I have new ones too, but I often go back to those old. They're heavy. They're noisy. but they work. When they work. Ones run out of battery and don't do anything, they work. So
whenever I have to resort to the manual clippers like that, I can't get over how tired my wrist gets.
Well, imagine back in our great-grandparents' day or grandparents' day, hand clippers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We had a set of those. That first pair of clippers my parents had were those hand clippers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, was that ever fun. Yeah. This is a long time ago, people. This is our grandparents' clippers, not ours.
Not us. No.
When we were born, they were cordless, for gosh sakes. Exactly. And the cell phones we had when we were babies worked like a charm.
Yeah.
Walkie-talkies were a breakthrough. It's been an interesting week. We moved back from our summer place up in Traverse City, which gives a little more a little more regular schedule to our life. And I look back to the fall shows. I like when we get back to, now up here gets pretty chilly, so you know the indoor shows are starting. And
I love the fall shows.
Me too. But the winter shows will be coming soon too. And that'll get interesting. We'll see what happens with COVID, and we'll see what happens with shows and sizes and entries and gas prices.
We have our show coming up, and you're coming up to judge at our show.
The Old York Kennel Club. Not the old fort.
Not the York. It's in conjunction with the Royal Winter Fair, Canada's largest agricultural fair, the Royal Winter Fair. Wow. You can do 6 days in a row. You can go November 4th to 6th is the Credit Valley Dog Show, and then the 7th to 9th is the Old York Kennel Club.
Come on up, ladies and gentlemen. Come on up. And I believe William and I are going to do some commentary for the groups too.
Yep, we are.
So come on up and visit, and you can see the Canadian way of running shows, which is a lovely pace and quite friendly. And I've always liked it up there.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I get to hang with you all week. So
all week. Cool. Yeah, it'll be in person.
I break up like the Beatles on the. Oh, that's enough of that. The podcast is done.
Enough with him. We're done with this.
Just artistic differences.
Yeah, that's what they used to put, right? Artistic differences.
The organization is going to make a change, Mr. Kavanaugh.
Yeah, we're going a different direction. A different direction. That's what we're doing. Anyway, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for your input. We really do make this podcast based a lot around your comments and emails and thoughts and comments at dog shows. So please keep them coming. You can email Will at, I don't know, what do you call it? Is it
dogshowtips@gmail.com? That'll get to me.
Dogshowtips@gmail.com. And you can email me at dogshowtips@gmail.com.
All right, I get it.
Especially if you got a complain about what Will's doing, email that. Yeah, email me at dogshowtips.com. Anyway, at gmail.com. Anyway, all that and more. Anything coming up for you, young William? You going anywhere?
There's a show this weekend, just a local show. It's called the Wine Country Show. It's a small show held in Caledonia, Ontario. So it'll be a fun, relaxed show. But most of our shows are fun and relaxed. And we have a relaxing time at our dog shows.
Are you bringing your string or are you judging?
Yeah, I got the Irish Setter dog and the Beagle dog going, yeah. But I can drive back and forth.
Ah, nice.
That'll be more fun, you know. So yeah. The only problem with driving back and forth, people think, oh, yeah, you get to stay in your own bed. You got to get up an extra hour early. Yeah. All these things. In the hotel, you can just, you know, go to the hotel, go to the dog show, and you're there.
RV, it's even easier. You just stumble out the steps and you're in the ring.
But I do like coming home, and then the dogs like coming home too. So it's.
Yeah. No place like home.
That's no place like
home. Heels. There's no place like home. I don't know where I'm going this weekend. I have to ask Cheryl. I know I have the Silken Windhound Boo Fest specialty coming up in California and Old York Kennel Club. And then I've got a couple more. I forget what they are. Anyway, I've got a busy November too.
Good.
So that'll be a lot of travel.
I did my handling class yesterday, and it was really pretty silken in my handling class. It was so much fun to see.
Funnily enough, Brody sent me a picture from his handling class, and his silken walked in there. And he said it was the best temperament. It was so sweet.
Her name was Trixie, and she'd look all snotty at you, and she'd stand there like a little statue. And she was only maybe 9 months old. She was.
Yeah. man. You don't know what you're missing, AKC. This is a great breed that will be very popular.
I'll probably
have 180 at this. This isn't even the national. I'm doing that. Well, I've done that before. This Boo Fest is just a fall specialty in California. It'll be over 150 dogs. Easy.
I think she just stood there and she looked at me. She had these pretty little eyes. It was just pretty.
There are nationals that get 17 dogs, seven dogs. Nationals get AKC recognized breeds. And here we've got a breed where we got, 100 and a half, 200 at a specialty, and they're not starting me.
Anyway. Next week on the Dog Show.
Next week, right here on the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. All right, buddy.
All right.
I think it's time. Take us out.
All right. Well, everybody stay safe out there. We will see you down the road.
Party on, Bert.
No way. Way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reels.
That's right. We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself so damn seriously.
Watch the move under my feet. Stranger things
have
come and gone. To see the world and take the throne. Don't hold
thanks,
back.
Thanks, Ernie.
Oh, we didn't mention hockey either. Isn't that unbelievable, though?
Put that in, Doc. Man, I want to see it on a blooper anywhere.